It's Ezekiel 37. You know, this afternoon we were just looking at a scripture, or a number of scriptures, talking about the lack of God. And while you're turning up Ezekiel 37, also turn up Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says this. It says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Let me read that again. Let's listen to what it says. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now I'm not going to go over everything I said this afternoon, but one of the things we said earlier on was that when God breathed into the nostrils of man, it wasn't like some people have the idea that God is trying to resuscitate this being, and like doing a CPR on him, a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It's not breathing like that. Or I said this afternoon about pumping him up like he were a beach ball, and they're blowing breath through his nostrils. It wasn't like that at all. The word breath here means to speak. Jenny shared a verse from Psalm 33 earlier on, which says the same thing, as God breathed and God spoke. In actual fact, Timothy tells us this. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 6, says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Or, it says, it's God breathed. God breathed, God inspired, God spoke his word. A man heard it and put it down on paper. So when it says here in Genesis that the Lord God formed man of the dust, it says, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God spoke his word, his living word. And, God's word has this ability to, now we hear what I'm saying here, because it's New Testament. The word becomes flesh when it's spoken. You speak God's word, it becomes flesh. It puts on flesh. It takes on what it's meant to do. God's word never returns to him void, Isaiah tells us, but it always accomplishes its purpose. It always prospers in the thing for which it was sent. So when God spoke to this, I don't know whether this was a corpse. A lot of people say, yeah, it's a life here, God formed. This man could have been living, as we understand life. He may have already existed, and as God spoke to him, he receives the life of God into him. Now, I'm not going to argue whether he was or whether he wasn't, but certainly what I will say is, said God breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living spirit. A living spirit, or a being, a spirit, with the same ability to function and operate just as God does. That's important, because what we're going to look at tonight, we're going to take it a little bit further on there. Yes, God spoke. We know God spoke in Genesis 1. God said. Do you know how many times it says that in Genesis 1? And God said. Do you know what it says? And God said. And then it was. And God said. And it was. And God said. And it happened. And God said. the creation that we know. God said, let there be light, there was light. God said, let there be a firmament visible to us, and God made the firmament. God called the firmament heaven, God said. Oh. If you want to look at my Bible, I've gone through every time it says God said, or God made, or it was, it happened, I've underlined it. And I've got a lot of underlinings in chapter 1. God said, God made, God saw. God said, God saw. God said, it was. God said, God made. The link is, God speaking. God said it, and it happened. God spoke to Adam, and he said to Adam, he spoke words to Adam, he breathed into his, a man became a living being. God put within Adam something of himself. We said that this afternoon. God took of himself and put it into Adam, into his spirit. And then Adam began to speak like God spoke. Adam began to speak and command things, and they happened. Adam has an interesting verse here, and I know we touched on it before, and I mentioned it this afternoon. In verse 19, Genesis 2:19, it says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. I think some of these times we read these verses, sort of mentally skip over them, you know, they don't register. It says, God brought the animals to Adam and asked Adam, says, Adam says, what are we going to call it? Notice God didn't say, hey Adam, I'm bringing you an elephant. He says, Adam, there's a creature here. He says, what do you want to call it? What do you want to call it? And Adam says, well, I think it looks a little bit like an elephant. So we'll call it an elephant. Wouldn't it be funny if he called it a squirrel? And God said, no, you can't call it a squirrel, Adam, because a squirrel's got a little bushy tail. No, whatever Adam named the creatures, that was their name. Whatever Adam said it. Wasn't what God said. You know, God gave the responsibility to Adam to use his the ability that he put within him to create. And like he says in this, whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Whatever Adam said, this is like Genesis 1. Whatever Adam says, it was. God said, it was, in Genesis 1. In Genesis 2, Adam said, it was. Now, did you know God's never taken that back? He never said to man, well, you can't be trusted, so I'll take that ability back. We've still got it today. You and I were created in his image. In actual fact, as the people of God, we've been created, we've been recreated, we've been born again of the Spirit. Jesus came to give us life. We looked at that this afternoon. Came to give us life. Or, as we said this afternoon, it's life that God has, or what God has, the kind of life that God has, he's given to us. I have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Now, in Ezekiel, I did mention something with hope to go here, and let's just look at Ezekiel. I want to read just a few verses from this chapter, Ezekiel 37. If you, not there. Verse 1. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Don't you think that's a bit of a cop-out? Son, can it? Lord, you're open up with you know, Lord. That's how, isn't that how some people talk today? You know? Well, God, if God wants to, God will do it. Yeah. God can touch me if he wants. He can heal me if he wants. He can bless me if he wants. Lord, God, you know. Trust. That's how a lot of people talk. But he says, Son of man, can these bones live? So I said, Oh Lord God, you know. And he said to me again, verse 4, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. This is what he was instructed to say. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you, and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from these four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Amen. Ezekiel was set down in the midst of a valley full of dry bones. Not a chance that these bones, in actual fact, these bones were past being dead. There was no hope in the natural that these things could. They could ever, they wouldn't be able to move on their own, let alone come back to life. And what does God say? He says, Son of man, can these bones live? Verse 4, it says, prophesy to the bones. Speak, that's all prophecy is. It's speaking what God has said. If we prophesy to the bones, and say to those bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then God says, look, he says, okay, he says, you say this. Well, this is what I want you to say to Ezekiel. And you've got to be sure to speak to the bones, tell these bones, make sure these bones hear what I've got to say. You ever wondered how the bones heard? You know, I heard a preacher once say something, talking about Lazarus when he was in the tomb. And Jesus called down into the tomb, Lazarus, come forth. How on earth did that man hear what was being said? because he was dead. Now how did he hear? But even the dead hear when God speaks. You know, these bones, yeah, they've been dead probably many months, maybe years. But as Ezekiel did what he was commanded to do by God, and he began to speak to the bones, and he said, "Bones," he says, "I want you to hear what God says. I want you to hear what God says. God says, I will cause breath," and that's what that note God said, "surely I will cause breath to enter into you. And bones, you've got to live. You're going to live, bones. God says, I'm going to put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you will know that I am the Lord." And that's what Ezekiel was told to say. Ezekiel did what God told him to do. He says, there in verse 7, it says, "So I prophesied as I was commanded. I spoke to the bones just as God had told me to say." And what happened? Somehow, as God's word went forth, Elijah heard a noise. He heard the sound of a rattling. No, he's hearing things. He's a bit of cheese, you know, something that he'd had for supper. It's just something that's gone off. He's dreaming something. No, as Ezekiel spoke that word, he did just as God did. He says, "Bones, live. Bones, come together. Bones, grow sinews. Bones, bring flesh upon you. Bones, get covered with skin. Bones, breathe." You know, God's word as it went forth, as John tells us, started to put on flesh. See, well, that's not what John said. Well, let's read John, what he says. John 1. John 1, you know this scripture. John 1 verse 14, it starts off with three words. "And the Word. And the Word became flesh." Yeah, but that's talking about Jesus. The Word became flesh. Just keep that scripture. "The Word became flesh." Now come with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Now we started off yesterday morning looking at the birth of Jesus. In Luke 1, verse 26. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.'" But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." There is the word. The angel came, the angel sent by God. That's what it says in verse 26. Gabriel was sent by God. He was sent with a message for Mary. And the message was this: you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. There is the word being spoken. The word going forth. Though, it was a little bit more than that. You know, the angel went on saying that he'll be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And he ran over the house of Jacob forever. And then Mary had a question. Yes, she heard God's word, and she said, "Well, Lord, now how's that going to happen?" She knew naturally there's only one way that she's going to conceive the child. And she said, "Well, how can that be? So I don't know a man." And then the angel began to explain and says, "Look, how it was going to happen." It says that God, the Spirit, was going to come upon her. And she was going to conceive. And then listen to what verse 38 says. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.'" Just as you've said, let it happen. Just as you've said, let it happen. Let it be. Now Mary's speaking now. Let it be. She's releasing the word from her lips. Let it be. That's the word. The word came from God. And Mary says, "Okay, God, let it be." When God says to you, brings you a promise, let it be. Just as you have said. Let it be to me according to your word. Look at verse 45. The angel then, not something the angel, Elizabeth, says to her, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of the things which were told her from the Lord." And that's the very first, right at the very, now God has been speaking for thousands of years. Right from the day Adam fell. Because you know, God spoke to a serpent and says, "The seed is coming. Jesus is coming. He's coming. The prophets, they said, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming." Another one, "He's coming. Yes, he's coming." And eventually, Gabriel gets to Mary and says, "He's coming, and he's going to come through you." And she says, "Let it happen." Everything's lined up. God spoke it. Man's received it. Man spoke it. Or Mary in this case. And then John tells us just how it took place. How the virgin birth took place. Thousands of years. God's saying it. God said. God said. God said. God said. And it took one woman to say, "God said, let it be." And the word became flesh. And he dwelt among us. You know, that word took on life form as it was released. Now, that's my place in Ezekiel. So here in Ezekiel, he's told by God, he says, "I want you to say this to the bones." Now, he'd already heard God saying it. These bones are going to live. These bones are going to put on sinews and flesh. They're going to come together. Basically, he says, I need you to say it. It's not going to happen until you say it. Now, don't mishear what I'm going to say. God needs your permission to do anything in your life. He's not just going to step in and, well, because you've got a need, well, we know God knows you've got a need, but you've got to give him permission to work in your life. You've got to release the word of God. You've got to say, like Mary, let it be according to your word. That's it, that's how you got saved. That's right. So it says you've got to line up your word with what God says. So Ezekiel says, look, he says, okay, bones, he says, this is what God says. And this is what's going to happen. Breath's going to come upon you and you're going to live. I'm going to put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. So as he did it, as he released that word, the bones began to move. You know, the bones were rattling all over the valley. This, I don't know what this would sound like, it must be probably like some earthquake or something happening. You know, as these bones began to move and this rattling. But all the bones came together, bone to bone. And it wasn't just any bone to any bone, it was every bone in its right order. You know, the bone of the foot found an ankle bone to hook up with. They in turn found a leg bone. Every bone came together, bone to bone, in the order that it was meant to. And then he says he looked, and flesh began to grow on these bones. These bones, this word that he spoke was putting on flesh. In verse 9 it says, I want you to speak once more to these bones and prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath. He's talking about the Zoe life of God now coming in. Now Zoe is a New Testament word. You know, this life of God to come into these bones. Speak to the breath, the life. You know, breathe on these slain that they may live. So as Ezekiel prophesied, he was commanded, he did what he was commanded to do. He said, okay, God, you said it, I'll speak it. And as he did, his army stood up on its feet. Now this valley no longer was filled with dry, dead bones. Now this valley is filled with an army, a mighty army. These aren't just bones in a valley, not even skeletons. These are living beings. They're clothed in flesh. They've got every muscle and every sinew in its rightful place. And they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. When God breathed to Adam in Genesis, he breathed into his nostrils and Adam became a living being. He spoke the word and Adam became a living being. Mary spoke the word and Jesus was conceived and he was born. Romans tells us that this is how God acts. This is how God operates. Romans 4 verse 17. Romans 4 17 says, this is the way God acts. It says that God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, I want to tell you something. This is right up today, bang up today. As you know, a few weeks ago, those of you that are in the church, had an accident in Ranskill, where the forklift ran over my foot, crushed my foot. You know, I was a little bit painful at the time, but I didn't think it was that bad. I could walk on it and move about. It just happens. I thought, oh well, you know, thank God it's not as bad as that. I got in the van to drive home. I just started off. I just got onto the A1 to come south. And, you know, all of a sudden, all these thoughts came. Amputations. I'm not going to think these things. All sorts of manner of things. You know, all these problems, broken bones, everything. They all started coming. You know, I just thought, no, I'm not having this. I'm not having these thoughts come. You know, these aren't not what I'm thinking. You know, I know where these were coming from. So I began right in the van there. Began to speak God's word. Every scripture I could remember. Healing scriptures. Every scripture that the Lord quickened to me. I just said it and spoke it out loud. You know, shut the radio off. Don't listen to that. Shut that off. I just started speaking scriptures. Speaking the word of God. And then this scripture came. The Lord dropped this one. Who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. I thought, yeah, cool. I started speaking to my foot then. So foot says, you're not broken. You're not going to be amputated. You're not... All these thoughts that were coming in. I said, no, this is what's going to happen. And I started saying, this is what's going to happen. Yeah. Now I got home. I carried on like this for probably half an hour solid. You know, it was alright to drive and I could drive home. It wasn't that uncomfortable. A little bit sore and a little bit bruised, but I thought, it's okay. And I got home, opened the van door, got out, and I always jump down on when I get out of the van. I go down with my left foot. Oh, and it's so hard to go down on your right foot. I went down, I thought, well, I won't jump onto my left foot, as unjust a foot it was. I jumped onto my right foot, and I went down onto my right, put my left foot on the ground, and practically fell over. I can't walk. And Jane, you know, I hobbled, but he wasn't home. I hobbled into the house as best I could. And I said to Jane, I think you better drive me to hospital. I didn't think it was broken, but I wanted to get it confirmed. Because, the devil's still ministering to me. All that in the van, you don't believe all that, it's a waste of time. I went to hospital. Actually, they didn't x-ray, but she felt my things. She said, how painful is it? It was quite painful. So I wasn't going to lie. I said, well, she's on a scale of 1 to 10, how painful? About 8. She said, 8, you're screaming, rolling around on the floor. I said, okay, well, it's not 8 then. But you know, she felt every bone in the foot. It's not broken. It's not broken. But it was very black, very bruised. Then she let me go. I said, I'm supposed to be going to Jersey at the weekend. And she said, well, you're not going on a hiking holiday. Well, we're not going on a hiking holiday, no. But we tend to do a lot of walking when we're away. She said, you've got to rest it for a week. So I went home. I just began to, Lord, I know what you said. Now this is what you said. This is what your word says. Now let it be according to your word. I'd already done it all the way in the van. Now, I'm not going to say it was healed overnight. The bruising was there and still there a couple of weeks later. But I've still got a foot. It's not been amputated. It's not broke. It's only soft. There was only soft tissue damage. That's all they said. Now, I firmly believe that had I started listening in the van 4 hours earlier, listening to that, there could have been a lot worse. But I began to speak what God said. Speak what God said. Let it be according to your word. Calling those things which were not. Now, it was painful. I'm not saying it wasn't painful. It was painful. It was very... I might add, I was only wearing open-toed shoes as well when it happened. And I said to the lady, and I said, you know, health and safety. And she, and that's the first thing she thought of when I said, what was she wearing? I said, these. And I knew what was going through her mind, so I said to her, it's bad enough when the health and safety officer doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Because technically I'm still health and safety in Ransfield, even though I'm not there. But no, it could have been a lot worse. But this is what God says. This is what I spoke. Just as Ezekiel did, just as Mary did, just as God did, just as Adam did. We speak what God says, and life comes. Life comes. First, you're going to be well. Body, yeah, you might be getting old and, you know, signs of aging, but I'm in control. This is what God says. This is what's going to happen. Prophesy. That's all it, that's what it is. Prophesy. Prophecy. Just speaking what God has said. Now we were talking in between services, and it was said, and those of you, you'll remember it, that this is what God says, but it's not my view of it, you know. This is what God says, but a lot of people say, well, I don't believe like that. I don't believe it quite like that. Well, this is what God says. I've got a thing hanging in, well, I did have a thing hanging in the bed, it's been moved. It's, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's what the little plaque says. That's not the way I say it. I say, God said it. That settles it. I believe it. God said it. That settles it. So when God says it, you can speak it. Because it's settled. Because it's settled. God breathed. And man became... You know that word... Literally means that man became a speaking spirit. A spirit with the ability to speak what God has said. Call those things which be not as though they were, but as though they are. That's what Abraham did. And I'll finish with Abraham. A little bit later on, just after this, this verse in Romans 4. It goes goes on to tell you about Abraham, verse 19, it says he was weak. Well, he wasn't weak in faith. He didn't consider his body. He didn't consider what his body was like. Body says, you got no hope. You're too old. You think you're going to have it? Look at Sarah. You think you're old? What about Sarah? He didn't think anything like that. He didn't consider anything else. He didn't consider his body or the deadness of it. He didn't consider Sarah's womb. It says in verse 20, says he didn't waver at what God had said. Well, the promise of God. That's what God had promised him. What God had said. He didn't waver. He didn't say, well, maybe God didn't mean it. Well, maybe he didn't. Maybe that's all right for a Sunday, but not for a Monday. Wasn't moved for what God had said it. He was sure that because God had said it, God would bring it to pass. And that strengthened him in his faith. He gave glory. Listen to these lovely words. It says in verse 20, it says, and being fully convinced, or fully persuaded, another translation says, that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. And it was therefore accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for you and me, us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him. Being fully convinced that what God had said, God was able to perform. And that's how eventually, you know, after God had to help him along a little bit, you know, changed his name, but eventually that's how God, Abraham began, every time, if I say, what's your name? You say, you're Elvis. Okay, you're Elvis. Well, I'm Peter. My mate Abraham, when he said, I'm Abraham, do you know what he was saying? He said, I'm the father of many nations. Now, he didn't say that before. He said, I'm too old. He said, what? God said, look, he says, go out and look at the stars. Abraham didn't. No. Okay, God says, I've got to do something about this. He says, okay, you're not going to be called Abraham. He says, now you're going to be called Abraham, father of many. So every time Abraham said, I'm Abraham, do you know what he was saying? He's saying, I am what God says I am. I am what God says I am. And after a few years of saying, I am what God says I am, now he's fully convinced now. Yeah, I am the father of many nations. I am the father of many nations. And you know what happened? It wasn't long. Abraham became a father. That word put on flesh. That word became real. If that's the right word to use. You know, you might hear people say, well, you've got to get real. This is the world. Hey, you don't get any more real than what this says. Forever, O Lord, Psalm say, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. Thought about that word too already. You know, forever, God is faithful. How long is forever? Is it just until the end of next year? Okay, you can't think that, but what about next week? Can you make it to tomorrow? But forever. Forever your word is settled in heaven. You know what that means? If it's forever settled, it's not going to change. It's going to be unchanging. Jesus put it like this. It's like a foundation that a man builds his house on. So whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is like a man who built his house on the rock. It doesn't change, it's firm, it's sure. And that gives us a confidence. So we can speak what God has said, just like Ezekiel did, just like Abraham did, Adam. They spoke what God said. And they saw the results. I'm actually convinced. You know, there's in Hebrews 11, there's a long catalogue in Hebrews 11 of people. And we haven't got time tonight to look at each one, but it starts off in Hebrews 11 talking about Abel, then Enoch, then Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and it goes on to others, you know, Jacob, Moses, David, loads of them, talking about them, what they did. I'm convinced, I've not looked it in, followed it through, but I'm convinced that if you look at each one of their lives, you'll see somewhere along the line they started beginning to say, well, this is what God has said, let it be. Taking God at his word, when God said it, they do what he says. Look at verse 30 here. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. That's to Joshua. He heard what God said, marched around the walls once a day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, seven times. It wasn't just marching around, they had to be totally quiet. Not much of, no talking between one another as they're going around. What they had for tea, or what they had for breakfast, and what their plans were. None of that, they had to be quiet. Then on the seventh time, or the seventh day, they were to shout. And as they shouted, the walls came down. Now that's instructions. And that's what God said. They did it. And that word, you know, God, Joshua said, yeah, we'll let it be then. We'll do what you tell us to do. And it happened. And you don't have to go long through the scripture. I think every one of these, if you look at them and do a study on them, that's a... There's a little bit of homework for you. But I'm sure you'll find that every one of them did what God told them to do. And their achievements, if you can use that word, the achievements are recorded in Scripture. They've made this gallery of great men of faith in Hebrews 11. All we have to do is line our word up with what God says. Like it Paul says, we believe, therefore we speak. You know, we've got the same God. He's not changed. He doesn't change. Same God, and he's telling us what to do. He's given us his word. And it worked for Abraham, and it worked for David, and it worked for Moses. God's no respecter of persons. It worked for you, Elvis. It worked for me. It worked for any of us. But God's the same.
Amen.
He never changes. Praise God. Yeah, God breathed into Adam and he became a living, speaking spirit. To function and operate just as God does. God took something of himself and put it in to you and me. Now we've been encouraged all weekend. Brian encouraged us to, you know, to rise up and, well, he's on about love as well, yeah, but to actually go out and do what God's telling us to do. Let's dare take God at his word. Start speaking it. And see it come to pass. Father, we just give you thanks tonight. We give you praise. Father, just pray, Lord, that in these closing moments of this weekend, Father, that once again you'll just write your word upon our hearts. as we rise to the challenge to live in the fullness of the blessing. Lord, you show us how to live. Lord, by adhering to your word, following what you tell us to do. Father, Lord, that we would reach out, Lord, in faith, Lord, to others around us. Lord, that we let our love and compassion, Lord, for you, Lord, flow out to them. Father, Lord, as we've been strengthened, Lord, Lord, on both these days, Lord, Lord, that you will now just quicken us and empower us. Lord, anoint, Lord, your children, Lord, to rise and be the people you want us to be. So, Father, we just ask you now, Lord, just to, Lord, move among us. Lord, quicken us. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Jesus.